And spend some time, and this is it's kind of a Bible study day today, quite frankly, so if you like to follow along, just hang on to your Bibles. If you don't like to follow along, today may be one of the days that you might want to follow along, just because we're going to be looking at a lot of stuff, and it really kind of fits together, I think, and I hope, pretty well. And it's kind of tracing a particular gentleman that I find helpful. Acts 15, that's on page 924 in the Pew Bible. The bulk of our reading will be in Acts. It's kind of tracing through the life of Barnabas, which is somebody that has this story, this line has been very helpful to me. And there's a variety of reasons why I want to share it. And one of them is he strikes me, Barnabas does, as this is something we can do. What we're going to read about is just full of things that we can do. And what I mean by that is we read about Jesus, we read about, you know, and in this particular day, today we're going to interact with Peter and Paul. And Peter and Paul do some things that we can do. But, you know, the main reason that Peter and Paul are kind of important and famous is they wrote significant chunks of the Bible. We can't do that, all right? So, I mean, Barnabas, we're going to study things that we can do. That Barnabas is both exceptional and quite normal, and where he's exceptional is accessible to us. We're going to start in 15, and just to give you a little, Paul and Barnabas have been going out. We actually find out about Barnabas before we find out about Paul in the book of Acts, which we'll read those texts. But Paul and Barnabas have been, for the last several chapters over many months, have been journeying around and starting churches and empowering churches and preaching and being, you know, important church leaders and just making stuff happen. And then the church kind of comes back together at the beginning of Acts 15 to address really the great theological issue of the early church, which is how do you get right with God? And they decide on that it's not by law, it's not by following all these rules, it is you're saved by grace. And this is the gospel that Jesus died and rose again, and everyone, whoever wants to have it, claim it by faith, may have it. And so they have just come off this journey, and they've come, and the church is kind of re-energized, if you will. And so I would suggest that that's what's going on. And then Barnabas comes to Paul and says, let's get back to work. And that's kind of where we pick it up. So Acts 15, beginning to read in verse 36. After some days, and Paul instigates here, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are. And Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark. John Mark, usually Mark or John Mark, and we're going to see him all through the Bible, all through the New Testament. But Paul, verse 38, thought it best not to take with him the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with him to the work. You can read this later. It's one big thing we're not going to read. In Acts 13, they're out there doing their work, and for whatever reason, they're going to go to their next place, and John Mark says, I'm not going to go. There's not a lot of detail there. There's not a lot of detail here, but from the tone here, I think we can rightly kind of conjecture, he got lazy, he didn't want to commit, he wasn't on board in whatever way. It wasn't merely, I've got another idea, or kind of, for lack of a better way of saying it, a reasonable excuse. John Mark failed. And that's what's going on with Paul here. Paul says, look, we got to have people we can trust. We got to have people who won't flake out on us. Let's get back to work. We got it. And Barnabas says, great, let's take John Mark. He's a friend of mine. He's actually family to Barnabas. And Paul says, no, we can't trust him, quite frankly.
Verse 39, and there arose a sharp disagreement.
Okay. Barnabas and Paul disagreeing is a big deal. Okay.
These are arguably two of the great leaders in the early church. It's one of the great things about the New Testament. The New Testament shows the reality of the anger, of the frustration, of the everything's not all clean and everything's not all nice and smooth on the surface. There arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark and sailed away to Cyprus. They went to work, just different work. But Paul chose Silas, departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. We're going to keep reading, but we do read and we do pray over the reading and the study of the Word. So let's pray together right now. Let's pray. Almighty God, we're thankful for the Word. We pray humbly that we can't get what you want us to get unless your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the recording of these words, that He would be in our hearts and minds and souls to teach us what the Word has to say and to enable us to live as the Word teaches. Focus us then not on our flesh, but upon your body and our place in it. We humbly ask all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to look at what Barnabas is doing. And I want to turn back, if you would, to Acts 4. And I want us to see a couple of things that he does. And I want us to get that he's a big deal. And he's an example of who we can be. Acts 4, which you can find on page 912. And when we go through all these passages, there's going to be all kinds of interesting stuff that we will not get to today. Acts 4:32. Here's where we first meet Barnabas. We meet Barnabas long before we meet Paul. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said, this is talking about the early church, no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. It's a very interesting verse, which we will not spend much time on today. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which means the son of comfort or the son of encouragement, a Levite and native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas is singled out among all this discussion as the one who does this well, and I would suggest, most commentators would suggest that he is particularly generous, and he is, you know, a leader in this project. There's a contentment and a confidence in generosity. This is something we can do. There's a joy in generosity. This is something we can do. There is a servant leadership in generosity. And this is something we can do. The ability of the church, the ability of the Christian to say, this is my blessing and I'm going to share my blessing. This is a foundational element of Barnabas becoming a leader, a servant leader, a respected person. And when I'm figuring out what I'm going to do, when we are figuring out as a family what we are going to do, when we are figuring out as a church who we're going to be, I would suggest to you that throughout the New Testament, that generosity is a mark of that. And quite frankly, that's where we're going to stop for today on this subject. Generosity is a mark of the Christian. Generosity is something that enables you to extend your reach and be a blessing and show the generosity of God. There will be further discussion about this throughout the year,
seemed to me that's a reasonable thing to start the year with. When we're looking at this guy who is a respected, an important person in the early church, the first place we meet him is generosity. We'll take that and work with that.
Turn, if you would, then to Acts 9, and we're going to kind of see the standing he has. Acts 9, page 918. Now, Saul, or Paul, the gentleman we know as Paul, used to be named Saul, and he hated the church, and he persecuted the church, and he threw Christians in jail, and he was fine with Christians being killed, Stephen. Okay. And then Paul gets converted. And that's a great story. And here's one thing, again, the Bible tells us kind of the truth, there's some great details, and here's what happens. Paul gets converted, and he says, I've been throwing you guys in jail, and I've been killing you guys, and I've been making your life miserable, and I've hated you guys, and I got converted, and I saw the light. And everybody says, I don't trust you. How do we know you're just sneaking in to get more of us? Something like that.
And here's what God does. Acts 9:26. When he, that's Paul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord and spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he, Paul, went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord.
People with credibility can give credibility. People who are in can let other people in. We talk about the accumulation of influence, approval, power, and money. Barnabas is showing that if and where you have accumulated influence, if and where you have accumulated resources, that is great. Now use them. Use them to be a blessing to other people. Use them to be a blessing to the church. Use them to be a blessing to the community. Paul is going to become the most important person in the early church. And he can't get in. And Barnabas, because of what we would suspect, God-given insight, says, I will put my reputation on the line to bring him in. Who needs to be in? Who needs to have putting your reputation on the line to enable them to do their work? To enable them to make a difference, to be a blessing. Who is that?
If you have respect and stature, and you do, how can you use it to be a blessing to the people around you? If you have respect and stature, and you do, all of us in different places, all of us in different ways, if you have respect and stature, how are you going to use it to make things better? We can do this. And it is huge. Turn, if you would, then, as we keep going, to 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to give you some time. I'm going to go over a few things while we're working our way to 1 Peter 5. So, as we read, Paul and Barnabas disagree over John Mark. And quite frankly, John Mark he's on the scrap heap. Another great thing we saw in Barnabas that in 12 and 13 and 14 in Acts, 1 Peter 5, that's on page 1016, by the way, 1016. One of the things that we saw in between the inclusion of Paul, so Barnabas and Paul, they travel around everywhere. And there's an interesting thing about how Greek writing goes.
Whoever's first is the more important. And in Acts 10, 11, 12, 13, it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And then in Acts 13, Paul takes off. And he starts doing Paul stuff. He starts doing pretty amazing things. And it becomes Paul and Barnabas, and Paul and his companions. And here's what I would suggest to you is true. Barnabas is not bothered by this. Because Barnabas is the one who recognized this Paul is somebody. And so when he is replaced, when it becomes, it's a very difficult thing for us to move from to be Barnabas when Barnabas and Paul moves to Paul and Barnabas. It's a very difficult thing for us. And there is an understanding in Barnabas that I am not serving Barnabas, I'm serving someone higher. And if God is gifting and God is empowering and God is doing great things through Paul, then I'm glad God is doing great things through Paul. And since it's God who I work for, I can be okay with this. The humility to do your best, the humility to do my best and make my offering. And then if God is doing different or greater or more noticed things through other people, it's all good. That is great faith. That is great self-assurance. That's great confidence in yourself. Here's what I'm called to do, and I'm going to go do it. And if someone is greater, good for them. Good for them. The world needs to see that. The world needs to see pride, and the world needs to see ego kind of put aside so that the greater work can be done. We can do this. There's a confidence, and there's a confidence that God is using me, that God is using you. When we say God's using me, that's plenty. And I don't have to be so wrapped up and worried about how God's using everybody else as it affects my ego. Barnabas accepts the move from Barnabas and Paul to Paul and Barnabas. Because Barnabas is working for God. And when we look at how, I don't talk about y'all, when I look at my ego and how it gets in the way of stuff getting done, my pride now gets in the way of stuff getting done. If that could be removed. You know, my friend, one of my favorite people to quote, John Wooden, you know, basketball coach, said this. He goes, it's amazing what can get accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. It's amazing what can get accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. Which I think is very helpful. Which is what Barnabas has. It's amazing what can get accomplished in your family. It's amazing what can get at work. It's amazing what can be accomplished for Christ when no one cares who gets the credit. We just say, thank God for what's going on. We can do this. This is accessible to us. And the last thing I want to talk about is what the gospel is about. It's about reclaiming lost people. It is about reclaiming lost people. It is about reclaiming broken and lost people. And when we left John Mark in Acts 15, he, you know, right? Hey, let's all go. And what does Paul do? He turns his back on John Mark. I'm not suggesting necessarily that what Paul did was right or wrong. We don't have the text to comment on that. And I think it is legitimate to suggest, hey, you know, we're pushing. We're pushing and we need everybody pushing together. And John Mark wasn't pushing together. We need everybody rowing, and John Mark wasn't rowing with us. And I get that that may be needed. But what we also know is the number one guy rejected John Mark. And so his reputation is not so good. And Barnabas says, I will leave the starting team. I will leave the leading team. I will leave the number one guy. You know why? Because as much as we need people pushing and pushing and get stuff done, and that is valuable, we also need people who will stay behind and say, this guy's broken, but God's not done with him. And let me rehabilitate. Because that's what the business of God is. And every now and then, I need to remind myself, and I think we all need to remind ourselves, that while we like to be a part of, and we admire, and we applaud the people pushing and accomplishing and pushing and accomplishing, and that is good, that there is a, for lack of a better way of saying it, there's a place in the heart for God, in the heart of God, that says, those who stay behind with those who are broken and reclaim them, that's a powerful and important work. Barnabas stays behind and reclaims John Mark. So here's the rest of the story for you Paul Harvey fans.
Here's the rest of the story. 1 Peter 5. Verse 12. 1 Peter 5:12. That's on 10:17. It's the end of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting you and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends your greeting. And so does Mark, my son. Christian tradition, really from the earliest days, has held that the gospel according to Mark is the personal memoir of Peter the Apostle given to his friend Mark, and Mark wrote it down. Mark is pulled off of the scrap heap and he gets a gospel. He's not left by the side of the road. Why? Because Barnabas invested in somebody broken. Because Barnabas invested in the next generation. Because Barnabas invested in him. He leaves the star to work with the rejected and failed person. He is patient with God, Barnabas is. He is patient with others. He is patient with himself. And now Mark, for lack of a better way of saying it, he's taking care of the stars. He's writing down Peter's gospel. When Peter is old, he wants Mark. And there's somebody else who's old that wants Mark. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, which is back to the left. Second Timothy 4, 9 to 11. This is among the last, if not the last thing Paul writes, that we have of Paul's writing in the New Testament. Among the last, if not the last, things we have in Paul's writing in the New Testament. He is in prison. Do your best to come to me soon. That's page 996, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. What happened in the intervening years, we don't know. Here's what we know. In Acts 15, Mark has quit on us and Mark can't be trusted. Now at the end of my life, Mark has been rehabilitated and I gotta have him. So here are two comments about the gospel for us, friends. Here's the first. If you feel that you are on the scrap heap, and if you feel that your mistakes or the way people are treating you or the way you are looked at, that you are no longer of use, God is in the business of rehabilitating. God is in the business. And His church better be in the business of finding the broken, finding those who messed up,
and believing that God is not through with them and that God is not through with you. So one message for today is, if you feel this way in any aspect in your life, you may be forgiven and you may be restored and brought back to faithful, fruitful life where you are a blessing. And secondly, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, regularly we have to ask ourselves the questions and we have to have our eyes open to who's been left out, who's been left behind, who's made the mistakes that the world is saying, you're done. Or you can't come up to the big table anymore. We will let you do little things, but you cannot do big things anymore. And the Christian believes, because she or he knows, that we have been restored, that we have been saved, that we have been brought back, that no one is beyond bringing back, and that God is not through until God is through. And we believe in the changing power of the Holy Spirit to take people who have been shut out and thrown out, that the rest of the story is God still has things for them. And we may be part of His great work of making great things happen in people's lives. So in all our getting and in all our doing, let us approach life with this gratitude. We can do this. There are any number of things that great people in the Bible, they do that we can't. We can do this. We can be generous with our time. We can be generous with our money. We can be generous with our influence. And we can be generous with our belief, not in us, not our belief necessarily in them, in our belief in our God who changes and saves and empowers. And as we're figuring out what we're going to do with today and this year and this life, I find the story of Barnabas to be quite encouraging and quite instructive. And would you invite you to consider, we can do this. And God can use us while we're doing this to do His great work. And when we turn ourselves over to do that work, we give Him honor. And we're the blessing we're called to be. So let us consider these things.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But if because of your grace working alone, there may have been some truth in the preaching, let that truth be burned into our hearts and souls and minds that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.